Once again, we turn to the very first portion of the Gospel of Matthew, just the opening pieces of Jesus' genealogy. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. Now to verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. The word of the Lord. So why is Ruth here? The last 2 weeks we looked at why Tamar was in here, and Tamar, you remember, was the woman who slept with her father-in-law. We looked last week at Rahab in Bethany's wonderful sermon about Rahab, who was a temple prostitute, and she talked about why she was in the lineage. So the question this morning is, why Ruth? Now I realize in some ways Ruth seems a little more fit, I suppose, to be in Jesus' genealogy. After all, I mean, it's such a cute story, right? It's such a wonderful story, and it has the portion in the beginning that we often read at weddings with, where you go, I'll go, your family will be my family, your God will be my God. And we go, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful and lovely? And so we think, well, this it's okay to have Ruth in Jesus' lineages, except for one thing. She's a foreigner. She's a foreigner. She's not an Israelite. She's a Moabite. And what had happened by the time of Jesus, and this really began with the return from exile, the return from the deportation to Babylon, that there was this growing sense that if one wanted to be a good Hebrew, a good Israelite, a good Jew, then what you had to have was a perfect lineage. You had to be able to prove that you had, it was all Israelite from beginning to end and had no foreigners in it. And yet, here Matthew makes sure to mention Ruth, who is a Moabite, an enemy, a foreigner. And so why does he do it? Why does he make sure to lift her up in this genealogy? Well, what I want to argue this morning is that Matthew does it because he wants to demonstrate that Jesus' expansive view of neighbor is the right one. So let me explain. In the first century, around the time of Jesus, there were three basic views of who is neighbor, right? So Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? And it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so this idea was at the very heart of Judaism. But the question is, who's your neighbor? Now, there were three different takes on who's neighbor. One was the take from a group of people that called the Essenes. Any of you heard of Qumran, Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Okay. So the people who were there, and I see the people who went on the Israel trip are like, yeah, we've been there. Well, what these people believed was that neighbor was another member of the Qumran community. That's as far as the idea of neighbor extended. It was just to our small group. And so our small group are neighbors. This is who we are to love. And everybody outside of our group are enemies. So you had a second way of understanding neighbor. And this was far more common within Judaism. And that was that neighbor is all Jews. Okay? And the world was clearly divided between Jews, who are neighbors, and Gentiles, who are enemies. Okay? So you have a slightly bigger circle. Jesus, on the other hand, had the audacity to think of neighbor as everybody. I mean, Jesus heals the daughter of a Roman centurion. Jesus has dealings with Samaritans. Jesus hangs out with clean and unclean. Jesus' idea of neighbor is expansive, and especially if you come to the very end of Jesus' gospel in chapter 28, where he says, go into all the world and make disciples of all people. Right? So there's this expansive view of who neighbor is. And so somehow, when this gospel, the gospel of Matthew, is written not for a wider audience, it's written for a Jewish audience. It's written for the Jewish community to say, listen, you need to see how Jesus is the Messiah to the Jewish people. And so somehow Matthew has to get across to them that this expansive view of neighbor is acceptable, when for most Jews, it's not the way they see the world. And so the way he does that is by mentioning Ruth. Because everybody is going to know the story of Ruth. And so there's two things in the story of Ruth that prove this expansive view of neighbor. First, Ruth herself, this foreigner, this enemy, is actually the good neighbor. That she loves her mother-in-law, Naomi. Okay? She loves this foreigner, Naomi, in the way that God calls upon people to love neighbor. And to understand that, you just sort of have to do a quick recap of the book of Ruth. All right? So Naomi and her husband are Israelites. They have two sons. There's a famine. They move to Moab. Okay? And in Moab, their sons fall in love and marry Moabite women. Well, as things happen, Ruth's husband dies, her two sons die, and she has then herself, Ruth, and her other daughter-in-law. Famine's over in Israel. Naomi's going to go back home, and she says to her daughter-in-laws, you guys stay. Okay, you guys stay. Don't go anywhere, because you're Moabite. If you go to Israel, chances are you'll never find a husband. Stay here with your own people. Marry, have children, have a great life. Adios. See you later. What does Ruth say? Ain't no way I'm leaving you. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Your family will be my family. Your God will be my God. This is what neighbors do. Because Ruth understands that if Naomi goes back on her own, she has no one to care for her. She has no one to watch out for her. She has no one to help feed her and protect her. And evidently she was at a place in life where she could not go out and glean in the fields. Who knows what would have happened to her. She would have been totally abandoned. And what Ruth, the enemy, does is in it she acts as the neighbor. She acts in love for her mother-in-law and goes back with her. And by going back with her, everyone who reads the story of Ruth understands what this means. It means that people are going to look at her as the enemy. They're going to look at her as a foreigner. She will have no protection. She will have virtually no chance of ever marrying. She is literally giving up everything in her life to care for her mother-in-law. This is what it means to love neighbor. That's the first thing the book of Ruth tells us. The second thing it shows us is what it means to love neighbor as self. And Boaz, this guy named Boaz, becomes the one who clearly demonstrates what it means to love neighbor, even when that neighbor is a foreigner. So Naomi and Ruth come back home, come back to Israel. They have no food. They have no savings account. They have no line of credit. They have nothing. And so Ruth has to go out and somehow find food. Well, it's harvest time. And one of the rules within Judaism is you didn't harvest your entire field. You left, it's called gleaning. You left just the outer rim of the field unharvested so that the poor could come and harvest and have something to eat so that no one starved. And so this is what Ruth does. She goes out and she starts gleaning and she moves to field to field to field and she finally comes to Boaz's field. And Boaz says, well, who is this woman? And someone says, well, that's Ruth's daughter-in-law who came with her and who's taking care of her. And all sorts of things start to happen. Boaz at first says, make sure you leave the edge of the fields. And then Boaz says, well, don't just leave the edge of the field. Let her come and glean with you in the middle of the field. And then if she doesn't have enough, you just kind of accidentally drop some, you know, wheat or barley on the ground so that she has some to pick up. And then he says to Ruth, listen, it's the middle of the day, it's hot. Why don't you come and eat with us? And he feeds her and he gives her water. And this is one of the most important things that we often run by in this story. He tells his men not to molest her, because she is a foreigner. She has no rights. She has no real family. She has no real protection. And Boaz says, this is what it means to love neighbor. You protect them. You feed them. You care for them. And ultimately, the piece of the story that Betty read this morning is that Naomi understands that one day she will die. And that will leave Ruth totally alone. And so they concoct this scheme where she goes and to the threshing floor and lays at Boaz's feet, which essentially said, you know, I'm looking to you for protection. It's not sexual, it's I'm looking to you for protection. And Boaz not just, he understands he's not the exact next of kin, but he's the next one after the next one. And so if we were to read the rest of the story, he goes through this elaborate ritual where the other person says, no, I don't really want to take her on as a wife because it'll split the inheritance. This goes back to the whole Tamar story of, you know, of the family taking care of making sure there's an offspring. And so Boaz marries her. He marries a foreigner. He marries the enemy. I have no idea if there's love there, but it is to protect her. It is to fulfill his duty as the next of kin. And so this is what it means to be neighbor for Matthew. Ruth is what lifts it up. He doesn't tell the Good Samaritan story. That's only in Luke. But Ruth is the original Good Samaritan story, where the one who cares for Naomi is not another Israelite. It is a foreigner. It is an enemy. But it is someone who understands who neighbor is and how you are to treat them. So that's really the challenge for us, because if we're honest, every culture, every society, neighbor is the people who look like us, who act like us, who like the same things as us, whose skin color is the same as ours, whose educational attainment is the same as ours. I mean, birds of a feather, right? We flock together, and it is so easy to see everyone outside of that as somehow not really our neighbor. But Matthew says, look, Ruth is there. Ruth is in Jesus' genealogy. And what Ruth teaches us is that everyone is our neighbor, whether they are like us or not. And our challenge is to love them as we love ourselves. And so that's the challenge I give you. As you go throughout the hecticness of the next couple of weeks, and you look out and you rush past people, ask yourself, how am I treating that person as my neighbor? Because that person may be somebody else's Ruth. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of your love and grace. Help us not only to love you, but to love our neighbors in the same way Jesus did. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.